It is my observation that we humans, we have a fascination with predicting the end. Have you ever watched a movie with someone and all throughout the movie, they're like, oh, I bet this is what's gonna happen next. I bet this is what's gonna happen. Oh, I can tell what's coming. Have you ever watched a movie with someone like that? If you do that, please don't do that anymore. That's annoying for the rest of us. I'll just speak on behalf of people who don't do that. Or at least if you're watching a movie with me, don't do that. And here's why, because if you're right and you predict the end and you're right, it ruins the movie. But if you're wrong, trying to predict the end just becomes a big distraction. And so in my short life, I have observed many theories and predictions about what the end will look like. What will be the end times? What will be the end of days? And one of those theories, one of those predictions really impacted me personally when I was about age 11. At that moment, I was very fortunate. I was raised in a Christian home, so I knew what it was like to pray and read the Bible, and I would have considered myself a Christian. But at age 11, I went through this time where every night I would kneel by my bed and pray the sinner's prayer. Jesus, please come into my heart. And I would pray it from a place of fear because I heard about this thing called the rapture. And my understanding of the rapture was that Jesus would come back and he would gather all of the believers and then take them all away and leave all the unbelievers behind. And I was terrified that Jesus would come and I didn't do something right and I would be left behind, but my family would be taken. So night after night after night, I just prayed that prayer just to be sure that I wouldn't be left behind. And then I would climb in bed and try to fall asleep. Great way to fall asleep each night. And then I'd wake up the next morning and realize, oh, everyone's still here. Okay, I must be good. And I'd do it all over again the next day. Why did I do that? Well, at that time, there was this guy whose name was Edgar Wisenapp. And he was a former NASA engineer and serious Bible student. And he wrote this short, compelling book entitled 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Would Happen in 1988. You remember that one? Anybody remember that? And that message, that book spread like wildfire through the Christian community. And it sold over 4.5 million copies. And in that book, he predicted that Jesus would return on September 11th, 1988. It was right around Rosh Hashanah. And obviously, he wasn't correct. But he made a lot of money on that book and fooled a lot of people. But he was quoted as saying, only if the Bible is in error am I wrong. He said, I stake my life on this, that Jesus will return in 1988. Well, if you haven't noticed, Jesus did not return in 1988. And here's what we know, because there have been lots of predictions and theories ever since then, but here's what we know, and here's what I want to tell you today. Number one, Jesus is coming again. And no one knows the day or the hour. It will be a long time, and in the meantime, he's calling us to be faithful and obedient. So we're starting a new series today with this question, what are the signs of the end? And I've been at this lead pastor role, in this lead pastor role for just about 6 years. This June will be 6 years, it's hard to believe. Out of all of the sermon series suggestions that I get, and I do appreciate them, out of all the ones that I get from people, by far the topic that gets requested most to me is the subject on the end times. It's really fascinating to me. And so if you've ever made that suggestion to me, I was probably gracious on the outside. Say, okay, you know, thanks for the suggestion. But on the inside, I was like, I'm not gonna do that. Sorry if that affects you at all. But I really do appreciate the feedback and the suggestions. But as I was discerning 2023 sermon series that we were going to do, We're going to start the year looking at Daniel from the Bible. And by the way, if you didn't get a chance to listen to Ryan Zook's message from last week, I would encourage you to do that. It was an incredible message looking at not just Daniel in the lion's den, but Daniel coming out of the lion's den. I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it. It was excellent. But after that, you know, Daniel had a lot to say about end times and prophecy. And so I began to discern and think, I believe that it's time for us to tackle this subject. And so how will we approach this question? What are the signs of the end? We're going to spend 4 weeks on it. Well, here's what our approach is going to be, because there have been a number of books and movies and TV series. You know, sometimes people come up to me and say, what do you think about, you know, what do you think about the Left Behind series? Or what do you think about Heaven is for Real, that movie that talks about heaven? Or what do you think about The Harbinger by Jonathan Cahn? Or what do you think about The Chosen? And when people ask me those questions, here's the answer that I give for everyone. If you have, you know, any questions like that, here's the response I usually give. Don't replace the Bible with a movie. Don't replace the Bible with a book or a TV series or a podcast. I'm going to take The Chosen, for example. I love The Chosen. I think it's so well done. I think it is creative. It helps us to get to know the personalities of the disciples and how they interact with Jesus. I just think it's brilliantly done. But don't replace the Bible with The Chosen. And so how are we going to approach this question? I want us to be students of the Bible. I want us to take a step and to say, well, okay, what does Jesus say about the end times? You may have heard a lot of things about the end times. We're not going to spend time refuting or disputing or trying to correct what has been said. We're going to look at what Jesus said, what the Bible said. I love this quote by Warren Wiersbe, who has written many commentaries, and he wrote this about prophecy. He said, the purpose of prophecy is not to entertain the curious, but to encourage the faithful. And that tells me we don't want to make prophecy say something it never intended to say. And so we're going to go on a journey and become students, take that one step further in being students of the Bible. What did Jesus, how did he address this question? How does the Bible address this question? And I want to invite you to go on this journey. Are you ready to go? All right, so where we're going to start today is looking at Jesus' words. I want to look at a passage of scripture found in Matthew 24. Now, in this moment, just a little bit of context, this is when Jesus was in Jerusalem the last week of his life on earth before he would be crucified. So we need to just picture where Jesus and his disciples are. They're in Jerusalem, and in these moments, in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew documents and records some of these long discourses that Jesus gives in response to a disciple's question. We're going to look at one of those, Matthew 24. I want to read starting at verse 1. Let's let God's word speak to us today. As Jesus was leaving the temple ground, so he's in Jerusalem, he's leaving the temple right there in the city, his disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings. But he responded, do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another. Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, and his disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return? If you've ever had that question, I would encourage you to lean in on how Jesus answers this. What sign will signal the end of the world? Now, before we see Jesus' answer, I want us just to think about this moment. So the temple would have been these massive, impressive architecture buildings in the first century. I mean, they would have been magnificent. And they would have just given this in looking at them, you would bring so much stability to you. It's like this big stone building, and the stones were polished, and they were blue, bright blue and yellow, looked like waves of the sea. And the disciples just said to Jesus, you know, look at these massive, impressive buildings. And it was funny. I think Jesus' response is very funny and interesting to me, because he's like, those buildings? Oh, they're going to be demolished. Now, as I read that, then the disciples, they transition. So my opinion is, and I could be wrong on this, But when I read this, I think something about that interaction caused the disciples to think right away about the end. And my conclusion is, and again, I might be wrong on this, but my conclusion is they must have thought, wow, if the temple is gonna be demolished, that sounds like something, you know, some kind of catastrophe that can't be stopped. That must point to the end. And so they asked Jesus this question, what's gonna signal your return? What's gonna signal the end? And I want us to listen to what Jesus said, what he points to. What are these signs that signal it? And as I read this, I want you to think about how often Jesus uses the word many. He uses that word, there's gonna be many that are in this group of people, many, it's a very large group, that implication is there's gonna be another category of people that are few. I want you to think about who is in the many and the implication who would be in the few. All right, so here's Jesus' response in verse 4. Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me. Another translation says, will be offended because of Jesus. Many will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. Aren't you glad you came to church today for an encouraging word to give you? And then Jesus concludes this portion with a but and an and. So he lists all that and he says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. He's not talking about salvation there. He's talking about the one, because salvation is by grace, right? Through faith. He's talking about we'll be standing firm. Yeah, you've been through some stuff, but you're still standing. And verse 14, the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. And then the end will come. Now, what I see in this discourse that Jesus gives, I see that there are 8 signs pointing to the end. And I want to go through each of these, and then what do we do about that? All right, so I'm going to encourage you to write these down because I think it will help us understand what Jesus is pointing to make us aware of what's happening. So sign number one, sign that what Jesus said will take place. Sign number one is deception. There will be many false prophets, and many will be deceived. And here's the thing about deception. No one likes being deceived. Oh, I think back to what happened to me in 1988. I do not like that. I'm even kind of embarrassed to share that with everyone. I don't like to be in the group that are being deceived. But the thing about deception is you don't always know when you're being deceived. But if Jesus says there's gonna be a very large group of people being deceived, that means why wouldn't it be in the group that are discerning of what's happening? Sign number two, conflict. There will be wars, rumors of wars. Kingdom will go up against kingdom. And we see that happening today. Jesus said, that's a sign. It's pointing to the end. Sign number three is chaos. These would include earthquakes and famines. And we see that happening today. Natural disasters, extreme weather conditions. Jesus would say, I want you to see it, because I don't want you to be surprised when it happens, because you can't prevent this from happening, but you can prepare for it. Amen. Sign number four, persecution. Jesus said, you will be hated because you are my followers. Sign number five, offense. Many will walk away. Many will be easily offended just hearing the name of Jesus. Sign number six, betrayal. Many will betray one another, Jesus said. You know, betrayal is not just a lack of loyalty. It's a step further than that. Betrayal is when you intentionally violate someone else and you hand them over to be hurt or abused. That's betrayal. And Jesus said, many will betray one another. Sign number seven, increased sin. Another translation says lawlessness. People living in unrestraint. Show me a group of people who are living in unrestraint and tell me, are their lives better off? Now, humans do not thrive in unrestraint. We need instruction. We need direction. We need correction. Jesus said there's going to be many just live with no moral compass, ignoring right and wrong. And then finally, sign number eight, indifference. The love of many will grow cold. Now, I know that's a little bit heavy, but there's one line in this, all these signs that Jesus makes this statement, and it's a way that he reframes these signs or these signals that point to his return and point to the end. And he uses this phrase, these are like birth pains. Original translation was birth pangs. And pangs describes a mom going through labor, right? Contractions. It's like intense but brief. And that's what Jesus said. He said, these are going to be like birth pains. Now, I know a thing or two about birth pains. I know. Don't you just love when a guy's like, yeah, I know about birth pains. But I've been through this three different times, right? We had three children. And I'll never forget when Kelly was pregnant with our firstborn, I was maybe 23, 24, and I thought that I knew, I didn't know everything, but I thought I knew a little bit about the whole birthing process, and I'm not gonna get into all the details today, but I thought that I knew a little bit, but I found out that I didn't know as much as I thought I did, because we took a birthing class, which I'm so glad we did. And I remember sitting in that birthing class and listening to the instructor, and a lot of instructions given to the moms, and then some instructions given to the dads or whoever the supporting partner was. And I begin to realize right away, man, I do not know anything. And so I'm just listening to every word. So I'm like, but I don't know much, but I can learn. And so I started listening, and then they're saying, you know, dads, you can coach the moms through breathing, through a contraction. I'm like, oh man, I can do that. Kelly's probably gonna be so glad that I'm her coach to help her breathe through this. She's gonna be so grateful that I'm by her side through this. I'm like, I can do that. And then we watched a video of a birth, and there again, I learned a lot that I did not know. But I felt very prepared because I was given all this preparation and going into this very beautiful, precious time of our lives. Well, then it came time for delivery, right? That was the class. Then it came time for delivery. And I just remember sitting there, and all of a sudden it got pretty intense. And I was like, I'm trying to be in coaching mode, but you know, Kelly really wasn't appreciating that at the moment. And all of a sudden in this intensity, the nurse looked at me and said, Dad, you need to sit down right now. And I'm like, I don't know what I did. And apparently, I started to get lightheaded. My face was pale. She said, we need juice and crackers for Dad. You need to sit down. They didn't want me to pass out and like crack my head while my beautiful wife is trying to give birth. And so that is what happened. So I'm sitting there. And then, of course, the doctor walks in just so calmly, looks around, says, so how are we doing? And I'm thinking inside, I'm like, not good. Like, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. It's terrifying. This is probably the worst delivery that anyone's ever had. And the doctor, and I think she was a female doctor, she just looked and said, "Huh, this is normal. You'll get through this. It's just temporary." In the moment, it did not feel temporary. When we read what Jesus wrote here, I can just picture him walking in and looking at all the chaos that we're experiencing and just having almost a little smile on his face, a twinkle in his eye, and said, "Yeah, this is normal. Amen. This is temporary. This whole intensity, catastrophe that you think is terrifying is temporary." So I want to give you three ways. Jesus said, the one who endures to the end will be saved. Again, not talking about salvation. It's talking about the one, endurance. It's not willpower, just grit your teeth, try to hold on, you know, get through it. But the one who endures, and that word endurance is so important to understand. It means to continue no matter what difficulty you face. It means someone who has been through some stuff and they're still standing with their faith intact. And if you're new to faith, I would encourage you to find someone, not who their life is just perfect, but who have been through some things that has been heartbreaking and their faith is still intact, and ask them to mentor you. Amen. Jesus said, the one who endures to the end will be saved. How do we do that? I want to give you three things to consider. Number one, be alert, not alarmed. Have you ever been around an alarmist? Every piece of news that comes out, it's like the world's gonna crash and burn. It's not fun to be around somebody like that. It gets old. So I would flip that around and say, don't be an alarmist. Be alert. Jesus is giving us signs to be alert, but he's also saying, I want you to see it so that you're not surprised by it. I want you to be in the category, not of the many that will be deceived, category of the few that will be discerning. Be alert, not alarmed. Let me give you an example of that. You know, I've heard, you know, because I do pay attention to what's happening. You know, some messages that have come out, it's like there's going to be food shortages, so make sure you store some food and water. And I'm not making a statement on whether you should or should not do that. But when there's fear-based instructions like that, say, oh, we need to prepare and we're gonna store up food, it's important that we go back to, okay, what does scripture teach us about this? And one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament is this promise that God makes to his people right after Noah, after the ark, they step on dry ground. God creates this beautiful rainbow, which is a promise, I'm never going to destroy the earth by flood again. And then he makes this statement, this word, and I don't know how it got documented, but I'm so grateful it did. Here's what God's promise is to us today. As long as the earth remains, this is in Genesis chapter 8, as long as the earth remains, night and day, cold and heat, seed time and harvest shall not cease. And so, yeah, there may be famines, and we know there's earthquakes, there may be famines upcoming, but the promise we hold on to is that as long as the earth remains, there's gonna be this tension between cold and heat, day and night, seed time and harvest. But it will not cease, that will not cease, and it's God's promise to hold on to. That's why we can be alert, we don't have to be alarmed. Amen. Number two, stay, don't fall away. Now, I use these words intentionally because I could have just said, hey, be faithful and obedient, right? Just be faithful and obedient. But I love this word, stay, and I think it's a very significant word. How many of you have at least one dog in your home that you keep inside? Yeah, a lot of, and how many of you would say that dog is very well trained? Yep, that's what I put my hand down too. They're like half, like mediocrely trained. So God has blessed us with two dogs, so grateful for his double blessing in our lives. But our dogs, the way that they're trained, when I say come, they both come. Right away, one time, come. and they come. But when I say stay, you know, they just look at me like I'm, and then they start wandering off. I mean, not even distracted by anything. It's like the breeze or whatever. They just kind of walk away. Sometimes I look at that, I'm like, stay. Like I've tried to be the alpha male in the house. Stay. And they just kind of walk off. Sometimes I think that's a picture of the difference between staying and falling away. See, falling away is easy. Getting distracted, that's easy. Giving up in the middle of a project, oh, so easy. Just walking away when things get hard, so easy. But staying, that's hard. Being committed to something to the end, to finish, that's hard. And when we hear that word, Jesus says, "And the one who endures to the end will be saved." That is about staying. It will take you through some stuff. But it's about standing firm on solid ground. And you might be thinking, well, how? How do you stand firm on solid ground when it feels like you're surrounded by chaos and uncertainty? Well, let me give you a couple habits or routines to put in your life. And you're going to hear these from us regularly, every day, or, you know, regularly. And the habits are one of the most important habits, practices, routines you can put in your life as a follower of Jesus is to have a daily Bible reading. Create space for God to speak to you through his word. That will keep your feet firmly planted on a foundation that will not move. God's word is sure. It is a firm foundation. But if we don't read and meditate, think about it, let it change our lives, that foundation will not be built. And so have a daily Bible reading plan in your life. Maybe it's one verse, maybe it's one chapter, and you're like, I don't know where to start. The Bible can be kind of a daunting book. Start in the Gospels. Just begin reading about Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Four Gospels that tell the same story about Jesus, just from different perspectives. That is a habit, routine, practice I would strongly encourage you to put in your life. It'll keep your feet planted. Well, another practice to put in your life is to build life-giving relationships. We know that the people we spend the most time with, we will become like them. So look at the people in your life. If you would become like the people who are closest to you, would that be a good thing or a bad thing? Do you have people in your life that are going to encourage you to be more like Jesus? And you have people in your life that are like, man, I want to spend more time with you because when I'm with you, you're going to encourage me to be like Jesus. Very important. That will keep you to stay. So we say stay or endure. It's not just willpower. Grit your teeth, try to get through it. It's building practices in your life that will keep your feet planted. Amen. And then number three, rest that Jesus will return. Everybody say rest. Oh, I want us to rest in that truth. Jesus is coming back again. We don't know when it is. We don't know the day or the hour. If you continue reading Matthew 24, he makes that very clear. Nobody knows. Only the Father knows when Jesus will return. But he is coming again. And we can rest in that. That can create a calm confidence. And he gives us this window and to say, don't just endure. There's going to be some other practices that need to be in your life. And look for these signs. I want to read it again, Matthew 24, verse 13 and 14. But this time I want to read in the Message translation. Because I love how Eugene Peterson translates these verses. This is what he writes. Again, these are Jesus' words translated by Eugene Peterson. Staying with it, Jesus said, that's what God requires. Stay with it to the end. Don't give up. Yeah, it's gonna be hard. Yeah, there's gonna be lots of opportunities to give up, but stay with it to the end. You won't be sorry and you'll be saved. Again, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about standing firm, even though you've been through some stuff, standing firm with your faith intact. All during this time, the good news, everybody say the good news. The good news, that message of the kingdom will be preached all over the world. A witness or a messenger of Jesus staked out in every country, and then the end will come. And my question to you today is, Have you amplified the good news of Jesus more than the news of this world? Is it amplified to a level that's going to influence you? Because we are going to be, the news of this world will get inside of us one way or another. So we need to compensate for that news, the bad news that we hear, by amplifying the good news in our lives. And so I'm just gonna ask again, have you amplified the good news? Because it's going to be preached everywhere, all throughout the world. And there will be a witness staked in every country. Jesus made this promise. That's what I want to be a part of. See, I don't want to just pray, God, bless what we're doing. Bless what we're doing as a church. Bless my life. No, I want to find out, God, what are you doing? Because it's already blessed. So that when there's an earthquake that takes place in Turkey, devastation, I want to be part of being a witness of Jesus in that moment. And when there's famines that take place, or wars, or threats of wars, instead of panicking, I wanna be part of being a solution and being on the front lines, being a church where we go and we can serve and we can help people meet needs. Amen. I just picture Jesus like that doctor walking in and just giving us these words, you know, oh, I know it's gonna look chaotic, but keep calm and carry on. Remember those shirts that say that? Keep calm and carry on. If you're a business owner and you feel the weight, pressure of inflation and keeping employees happy and wondering what sales and what the future's gonna hold for your business and wondering how you're gonna navigate things, I believe Jesus would be saying to you, keep calm and carry on. If you're a parent or grandparent, raising children, trying to make decisions, should they go homeschool, private school, public school? Very important decisions to make. And I hope that you discern, because there's not one right direction for every family. But I believe Jesus would say, keep calm and carry on. There's lots of opportunities to be afraid of what's happening. And Jesus would say, rest. If you're not confident in your own, find your confidence in who Jesus is and what the words that he said. That's where our calm should come from. Let him fill you with his peace and his joy and his hope so that we can be carriers of that to the people around us. If you're facing something, feels difficult, or maybe you have been in this habit of being an alarmist. Every single piece of news that comes out, it's like, oh, is this the end? I believe Jesus would say, release that and receive the rest, the peace, and the joy that comes from him. He would say, keep calm and carry on. Our team's gonna lead us in a little bit of worship, so I wanna invite you to stand and kind of breathe in this word, rest. Breathe in confidence. Maybe you've been dealing with anxiety, worry. And maybe you've been facing things that really, they're legitimate. Like they would create anxiety and worry if you try to figure it out on your own. But I believe God would say, just release the care of it, the weight of it, and receive this rest, this peace. Receive it into your lives, receive it into your heart, so that we have our feet planted on firm foundation. Those moments you feel like the ground's shaking, hold on to that firm foundation. You feel hopelessness, hold on to the one who is hope. He carries it to the people around you. Lord, thank you for working in this moment. Thank you for working in our lives. Thank you for the changes that are taking place inside of us. Let these seeds take root and produce a harvest in our lives. May we be salt and light to the people around us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I don't want anyone to leave yet. If you need prayer for any reason, we're gonna have a prayer team down front. Please feel free to come. If you wanna know what it is to have a relationship with Jesus, what it means to follow him, come talk to one of our prayer team members. We'd love to talk with you and pray with you, whatever way we can get connected. If there's any other way we can pray with you, we'd love to do that. If you want to get connected here at Worship Center, make sure you stop by Connections. If you're new here, you want to find out more about Count Me In, make sure you stop by there. And we're going to continue this series over the next few weeks. So I hope that you come back next week. But don't forget, you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for a purpose. So go out this week and passionately pursue the purpose God has in your life. Have a great week. We'll see you here next Sunday.